Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com from the fabulously fluoridated and Fukushima irradiated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island changed nation in the sunny slave South Pacific, where part-time jobs as an eco light bulb are the norm, and they piss on you, the government does, without the courtesy of calling it chemtrails. And I have this, I'm going on a bit of a rant today, and I apologise if this is upsetting anybody. In the last segment, I was talking about racism and how I'm accused of racism. All right, to say that I'm racist is just nuts. All right, I've been invited to the Temple of the Four Winds, the sacred Temple of the Four Winds by the Kingitanga, the actual Māori bloodlines of the chiefs, invited me down to their sacred temple. They have never, ever invited a single media person ever in the 100 years or so that temple has been there, even when it got burnt down by the British. Okay, I'm the first media person to ever be invited down there. That's how racist I am. You know why? Because they trust me. They trust me to cover their issues precisely as they should be covered. And what happens in this society is that if you're losing an argument, you give somebody an attack. You know, you say you're this, you're that, or you're the other. These people who do such a thing are just simply losing an argument. And because they're losing the argument, they decide to call you a name in the hopes that you'll go on the defensive instead of continuing the attack. You know? Oh, well, I'm not racist. You know, it's more like you're a scumbag and you're a liar and a cheat and a thief and a piece of trash scumbaggery individual. Okay? That's what you are. You call me racist, you don't have any evidence, I'll call you all of those names instead. And I do have evidence to back up my claims. Okay? This is why I feel confident speaking about it, because I'm not lying. And I don't resort to that kind of BS in order to win an argument. An argument's supposed to be put on the basis of evidence. Okay? Evidence. If you ain't got any evidence, you don't have an argument. It's just that simple, isn't it? Problematic difficulties with the general population, especially those who are closest to you, and you recognise that, of course, despite the fact that you're telling the truth, despite the fact that you are correct, people still won't believe it, people still won't look at the evidence, and people will still call you a racist anyway. This is their agenda. To stop people from saying what they think. That's what political correctness is really all about, isn't it? To stop people from saying what they think. I don't agree with racism because I believe that there actually isn't any races. There's only one, the human race. And we're all brothers and sisters in this one family. To hate somebody else, literally hate somebody else, for the pigment of their epidermis is freaking insane. It doesn't make any sense. Right? But that doesn't mean that racism doesn't exist. It's real, man. There are real racist people out there. Morons. If you're racist, let me just tell you something. You're a moron. Okay? You don't have any idea what it is to be a real human being. Do you? Do you? You know? There's even people who are racist against white people. In fact, that seems to be the most popular form of racism today. Don't you think? You know? White people are the new N-words of society to a large degree. And, you know, you get people calling you a cracker or whitey or, you know, oh, you white people don't know nothing about this. It's just like, that's racist, bro, okay? Just because you're part of a race that white people used to discriminate against doesn't mean that discriminating against white people because of their race is ethical, you know? You're simply repeating the same mistakes that my race allegedly has made in the past, okay? How about we stop talking like that, okay? How about we adopt what Morgan Freeman said about racism? He said something along the lines of, I'll tell you what, he's interviewing a guy, a dude who was Jewish, was interviewing a name of Michael or something like that, and he says, here's how I feel about race. You're Jewish, right? And he goes, yep. Okay, and he goes, no, you're not. You're Michael. I'm black, right? And he goes, yep. And he goes, no, I'm not. I'm Morgan. Okay? And I thought that was really, really profound. The quality of your character is what should define you, not the pigment of your epidermis. I think that's pretty straightforward, quite profound, and very important for people to recognize, because we are divided upon so many issues these days because of the fact that we have these artificial blockages, okay? If you're going to talk about, say, George Carlin had this really right, you know, anything that's different about each country, about people in this country, that's what they're going to talk about. Race, religion, jobs, income, sexuality, anything that the bankers can do so that they can keep running off with all your money. And this is the whole divide and conquer thing, man. I like to be able to bring people together. I like to be able to have fun and laughs and talk about really serious issues that people won't touch because they're too afraid of the implications. There's a reason for that. It's because I'm not willing to live life in a vacuous bubble. Okay, I'm willing to justify my existence, not because I simply exist, but because my existence is actually meant for something greater, something meaningful, something with purpose. If you find the purpose in your life and you deny it because you're afraid of getting attacked, if you're afraid of getting called a racist, if you're afraid of being called names, if you're afraid of being accused of things that are not true, then there is no savior for you. You are your own worst enemy. Don't be afraid to speak the truth. Don't be afraid. Just speak it anyway. Chips fall where they may. What do you got to lose that the elite aren't going to take from you anyway? You know, that's part of the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing. Other than the fact that I really can't be employed by people who are scumbags. Other than the fact that I'm a really damaged individual. This is not the reason why I'm doing this. It's actually because I want to do something important with my life. I'm not willing to sit back and watch my fellow brothers and sisters in the human race be killed, tortured, demonized, attacked, and sabotaged by the New World Order. I will not tolerate that kind of crap. I don't tolerate anybody doing it. I'm intolerant of intolerance. I know that sounds ironic, but it's the truth. If you see somebody being attacked, if you see somebody being viciously accused and gang stalked, and you do nothing to help them, what is your excuse? What is your justification for that? The answer is there really isn't a justification to do nothing to help your fellow man. Your fellow man needs your help. Always has. Always will. And to claim that it's not your responsibility is an abdication of your personal power. You have a moral obligation to serve your species for good. I think it was Thomas Paine who said that my country is the world and my religion is to do good. And I think that's a really important lesson And the founding fathers were men ahead of their times. They saw the situation that we're going through right now, and they tried to draft a piece of paper of general rules that they and their wisdom concocted to prevent this kind of nonsense from happening. And of course, just like most great thinkers, they don't get taught about in schools, because the schools are created by a system that has little use for critical thinking, a system that has little use for creative potential. This is the reality that we must deal with, and we must confront it if we are to survive. I genuinely believe that if we allow ignorance, if we allow evil, if we allow scumbaggery, then we are just as much to blame for the way society turns out as the ones who are perpetrating said scumbaggery. I mean, there's another a great quote: the only thing that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. And good woman for that matter. You know, just think about this. If you do nothing and you claim to be a good person, are you really a good person? Are you really a good person? If you see these bad things going on around you and you accept them, tolerate them, and allow them to continue, I say not. You're not a good person if you allow that kind of thing to happen. And it doesn't take an awful lot of effort in order to at least do something, just a little thing. You know? I mean, when I was driving, after taking care of one of the autistic boys I used to be paid to take care of, I was driving along the road and I saw these two kids on the side of the road. And one of them had their pant leg caught in the pedal of their bike, and they'd fallen over on the side of the road. What would you do? You saw two kids on the side of the road after one of them's just had a bike crash. What would you do? Nothing. You'd just keep driving, wouldn't you? I didn't. I stopped my car, got out, held the child's leg, unwound the tangled up bicycle pedal, helped them up, asked them if they needed a lift somewhere, and I said, no, thank you very much for helping us, we can ride home now. And I go, all right, well, just make sure you tuck your pant leg into your socks, otherwise it's going to happen again. And they did, and I don't know any idea what happened to those kids, or even if they made it home. What matters is I saw something happening right in front of me. I had the ability to do something about it and to change that situation for that particular person who I didn't even know. Right in that very moment, there I was, and I did it, and I made sure that I helped somebody. It was not my obligation. They weren't my kids. I didn't even know who they are. I didn't even ask their name. I just helped them anyway. I know, because of doing things like that, that I am a good man, and I have justification for doing what it is that I do. Anybody tries to accuse me of anything otherwise, they are a douchebag who doesn't know me, doesn't have a clue. I'm a very, very good friend to my friends. I know there's many times when my mates have called me at like 4 o'clock in the morning or something after having a fight with their missus and need a place to crash for the night. And I give it to them. You know, it's got to be done. It's about responsibility, okay? You not only just have a responsibility to yourself and to do what you think is right, but you also have a responsibility to help those around you that you can. Now, I can't help certain people, especially those who can't help themselves. But very occasionally, you will encounter these people who, in a really bad situation, terrible situation, their life has been destroyed, and just taking a moment to show them that you give a frack when all other people that they have encountered and told their story to have not, makes up for everything that is wrong that has been done for them, and gives them hope that there is somebody out there, at least just the one, being a representation of the human condition that has not given in to the brainwashing and programming that tells you to keep your head down, to not care about other people, to not help others. You can literally, I mean, it doesn't matter what's happened to you, how bad these things have gotten. Have you been, I don't know, attacked, destroyed, manipulated? Had your life taken apart at the seams? Many have. When this happens to you, doesn't matter how many times a bad thing happens to you, one person, just one, doing something kind for you without having any obligation, it's not their job, they ain't getting paid, they ain't getting rewarded, they're just doing it for you because it's the right thing, it instantly restores their faith in humanity. You could have had 100 bad things happen to you in a row, and then one person does one good thing, boom, your faith in humanity is back. Your depression goes away. Your hope returns. This is the power that each and every one of you has. And I encourage you, may I order you, if you were to ever follow an order, any order, follow this one. Help people, if you can. Help to restore their faith in humanity, especially those who have seen the worst of it. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Don't you go anywhere, folks. stop that education gap from occurring, you've got to put out learning material, much like we're doing on YouTube and on the radio per day. You will learn a hell of a lot more listening to this radio show than you would doing a PhD or master's degree at any university on earth. Guaranteed. No doubt, no problem. All right? I do understand that if it's going to be your opportunity, I mean, your opportunity to contribute something to the world, if you want that opportunity, you had best learn a lot even before going out and doing something. Like when I first started out doing all of this, I was listening to American talk radio 5 days a week. I was maybe even six, and watching a couple of documentaries a day. After a while, you start to realize that, hey, just absorbing information is not enough. I need to go out and apply this. And that's when I quit my job, bought a camera and an iMac, and just went out to the protests and public meetings and started filming them. Learning how to edit, learning how to shoot, learning how to find out who to interview at protests, usually the people with the microphones or the megaphones. You know, it's just that simple. You just waltz right on up to them after they finish speaking, and you do a quick interview. You ask them what they think, who they are, etc., and you'll be surprised at the quantity of information that you can get off of these people. It's only surprising, of course, if the only previous experience you've had of activists and seeing them talk is on television. Broadcast news, where they talk for about 4 seconds before being cut off as a soundbite. You know? That's the thing. Sound bites teach you nothing. Nothing. Don't listen to somebody for 4 seconds and think that you know an issue. Listen to them for 2 hours, and then you'll only even have a slight grasp of what they're talking about. Learning is an intense thing, and it is not safe. Okay, there's another thing that people are really, really, really not clued up about. Education is not safe. It is dangerous. It is painful. It destroys your perception of yourself, your perception of reality. It changes everything about your life to simply understand through listening, through looking, precisely what is going on. And to find out what's going on, and to find out that it's really not that great, and to find out that, hey, everything actually sucks and is controlled by scumbaggery agents of the New World Order. To not tolerate that kind of scumbaggery, I think, is the height of education. To go out and actually start exposing said scumbaggery is what's known as wisdom. Knowledge without wisdom is useless. Knowledge is simply facts on a page. Wisdom is how you utilize that. That's what the alternative media, I think, is now become, is a de facto online university. Okay? You are receiving your higher education right now by listening to American Freedom Radio. That's it at the end of the day. I found when I was kind of growing up, that I didn't like hanging around people that were just as smart as I was. I didn't like hanging around people that were dumber than I was either. Sometimes I would just lack a choice. I didn't have any options. And after high school, I started to realize that, hey, I don't actually have to hang out with people like that. And I choose to almost exclusively associate with people who are better than me in some way. All right? They're either smarter than I am, more kindly, have certain talents, skills, gifts, abilities, any part of their character or their abilities that is superior to my own in some way, shape, or form makes you a good friend to me. Not because I'm trying to steal whatever it is off you, but because you have something that I don't have, something that helps me to complete my training, you know, in the Jedi sense of the word. And The second part of this, not only is the problem with society, a lack of education and a lack of people even being motivated to question their own belief structures, and I think that's the alternative media's role to a large extent now, but also is the media itself. Okay, and see, it dovetails, doesn't it? The alternative media solves both problems. It solves the problems of BS media, and it solves the problems of BS education systems. Two birds with one stone, baby. Seriously. That's why the alternative media is just so, so very, very important to the future of humanity. I don't want to undersell it. Alternative media is the reason why humanity can and will be freed from the clutches of the New World Order. Remember that. Remember that when you attack people in the alternative media, that they're actually there to try and save your ass. And you want to hate them for it? You want to attack them for it? Are you freaking crazy? And the answer is yes, of course you're crazy. Because you've been listening to too much mainstream media. Because you've been indoctrinated by too much public education. You've been brainwashed by too much university education. You're too critical. They don't teach you how to think for yourself. They don't want you to think for yourself. They want you to shut up. They want you to repeat after me. They want you to say the Pledge of Allegiance to a flag that is now a corporation. That's what the education system teaches you. And it's all a big lie. And I know that's really painful when you realize that everything's a big freaking lie and you have to start again. You have to start again. Isn't that frustrating? Isn't that painful? Isn't that one of the nastiest things that people have to put up with? You know? The fact that everything you've been working towards your entire life has been in preparation for a future that no longer exists. That's really sad, man. And I can understand why a lot of truthers get depressed, get really angry and start flying off the handle a bit, start accusing everybody of crap left, right and centre because they've got such a painful growth process to go through. Okay, they're coming out of like 20, 30, 40 plus years, however long it took you to wake up, however long it took. Once you come out of that, it's, as I say before, like losing a loved one. You know, you love your life, you love your money, you love your job, you love your wife, and then you realize that it's all BS. You know, everything that you used to define yourself with, I'm educated in such and such, I'm employed at so. Mm-hmm. And then somebody comes along and says that nothing you've done in your entire life up to this point has mattered one iota to the future of humanity. You really want to hate that person, don't you? Frack, you want to tell that person that they should be killed, that they should be arrested, that they should be tasered. You know? These are the kind of comments that I get. Even if I have an amicable conversation with a police officer and we both are very friendly and have some fun together while we're having a conversation while they're preventing me from processing, I still get comments on the YouTube channel saying that he should have not talked to me. He should have just straight up killed me for protesting against scumbaggery. Yeah, just because they don't believe what it is that I'm saying. It makes me the bad guy. And you have to deal with that all day, every day, with these pituitary retards who have nothing in their head but rocks and frickin' nuts and screws and bolts. They've got mechanical thinking. They can't think laterally. They can only think literally. You know? Like, if I deny that carbon taxes are going to save us, therefore I love oil companies and love polluting the environment and love making 200 species a day go extinct or whatever. No! You don't have any information. It's not one or the other. There are more things involved here. And people don't have that capacity to a large extent. It's growing. I'm not going to deny that. And this is the good, and this is the, what's really encouraging to me, at least, is we're actually winning this war. Can you believe it, ladies and gentlemen? After freaking 100-plus years of public education, media manipulation, and scumbaggery agencies of the New World Order and the private banking cartels inexorably attempting to subvert the entirety of the human race from having the ability to give a frack about each other or learn anything that is of any value, we're turning back the clock in less than a decade. This last 10 years in the truth movement have exploded ever since 9/11. It is an exponential growth pattern. We are becoming more and more popular. More are we listened to. More do people begin to understand the obviousness and the graphic, violent nature of the truth behind things. Just because there's a bunch of ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery that are basically in charge of virtually every single policy doesn't mean we can't beat them. We are beating them. Have a look on any YouTube or Facebook thread that talks about a mainstream issue. And a lot of the time, you will see truthers on there explaining the truth, providing documentation, evidence, links for that truth to be backed up. And guess who opposes them? People with no information, people with no facts, people who resort to ad hominem argument, which means we've already won the argument because they don't even have one. You pathetic little scum. I mean, and also, this is another thing that truthers tend to do, and I think I'm guilty of that as well, is you treat people badly. Yeah. Yeah, we do, don't we? We call them slaves. We call them scum because they just don't get what's going on. And at the end of the day, we used to be like that, didn't we? Well, a lot of us did. Some of us were born questioning things, and we're always on the outside, and somehow came across a bit of evidence that really solidified your own opinion on the world. But, you know, at the end of the day, we didn't all be born into a woken up position. We were all alleged slaves and alleged scum at some point. And to turn around and say that it's everybody else's fault but mine is an abdication of your personal responsibility. And you can just be patient with people and just hope, like frack, that six other people tell them the same thing that you did. Because that's all it takes, seven people to tell you the same thing. Just play your part. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Welcome back. All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You listen to The Vinnie Eastwood Show. I want to play a song for you now. It's a song me and my friend Mikhail Pierce, together we are the Pakehachis. It's the Pakeha and a Mariachi. And we wrote this song to dedicate... there's a bit of feedback in the background there. It's weird. We wrote this song to kind of dedicate to all of those people out there in the truth movement and many others that have basically suffered at the hands of the system itself whilst being completely innocent and minding their own frickin' business. So, AFR, if you could play that song there, that'd be lovely. It's a little YouTube thingy. I can't hear it just yet.
Don't know this fact, but I'm actually a bit of a musician. And I played Suzanne this song earlier today, and I wanted to play it for the audience, if you're cool with that, Suzanne.
Absolutely, it's a good song.
All right. It's called Innocent, and I think we've all felt like this from time to time, you know. I don't have any idea how long it's going to play for.
Space cruiser giving me evil eye. Senor a criminal, I said, not me, no, not I. I'm innocent, and this cop is bent. I've resisted for so long, and my resistance is spent. I could tell.
there we go. Frack, that was awesome. Even if I do so... Even if I do say so myself. Yeah, I was just like, it's actually quite fun to think of the idea that you've got all this creative potential within all of us that's just waiting to get out. And my mate Mikhail, my bandmate, he's one half of the Pakehachis, which is the Pakeha and the Mariachi, by the way. If you search that on Facebook, I only just created the Pakehachis Facebook page today. And I really do think we've done a whole album and posted all the songs on that page. So I really encourage people to go there. And there's links to the Pakehachis page on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com as well. So if you can download all of those songs there for free. And I do think that this is part of my creative outlet that is only possible, and this is the one of the great points about being a human being, it's only possible because of my mate, Mikhail. You know? He's, in my opinion, one of the best guitarists in the country. And it's not because he's, like, on stage and has done all of this stuff and blah, blah, blah. It's actually because he's really talented at simply playing the guitar off of the top of his head. Just, that's what we do. I'm really good at making up songs off the top of my head, and he's really good at playing them off the top of his head. And every single song that we make has been done with zero practice, zero preparation, and simply sing it and it comes out. And then afterwards, we review it and then just go, man, that was actually a really good song. Write out the lyrics, change a few things around here or there, practice it, re-record it, do a little bit of audio engineering, and boom, we've got a finished song. And often that takes about 24 hours. So from coming up with an original song to actually having a finished product, for us, takes less than 24 hours. You know, in the music business, I think it takes like years sometimes to come up with a new album. And sometimes it takes months to come up with a new song. And because we just kind of jam together and have that really good vibe sort of thing, it's so much easier. And I don't know if anybody else out there wants to join us and help out. We need a drummer and a bassist, and it'd be cool to have like a whole band together. So if you're in Auckland, and you're actually reliable. It's the other thing. We're reliable. We say we're going to be somewhere, we go somewhere, unless there's a very, very good reason why not. So, yeah, please contact us if you're keen on joining the band, because we don't have no drums. It's just a flamenco guitar and a voice at this point, and a few other musicians involved would be really great as well. And, of course, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to support my mission to expose scumbaggery, give the activists whom you should be listening to the coverage that they deserve on an ongoing basis, by all means. And I implore you, please, please support me. Go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Click that subscribe button. It doesn't take a lot. Just a couple of dollars a month is what I need from you in order to continue doing this operation in perpetuity with perpetual growth. This is what capitalism was supposed to be about. We'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening.